coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Wednesday, the sixth day, right? October 6th? Help me out here. I can't tell the dates, times.
Maybe we should just X the date from the intro.
Well, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Just throw it out.
No. Folks, today is Wednesday, October 6th, 2021, or as I like to say, 1979. Jimmy Carter, you know, stagflation, malaise, right? The misery index. Okay, you remember that? Well, it's coming back full steam ahead. That's right. Jimmy Carter.
I do not remember that.
You don't remember that because you weren't even born, were you?
What year did you say? 79?
79-ish.
Yeah. It was minus six.
You were minus six. Can you believe that? All right. So does that make you guys feel old? That makes me feel old. I do know somewhat of the demographics of the audience, and I got to tell you, you're probably among the lower. Of course, you have to listen. You got to watch, right? But anyway, so
makes us look good. Bring the average age down. So
yeah, let's massage the numbers like the CDC and the WHO and the all the politicians, right? All right. So okay. So anyway, have a lot of stuff to cover, folks. A lot of things to cover. Just to give you an idea here, I just want to kind of go over some of the things that we're going to be touching upon. Remember yesterday I talked about Project Salus, okay, the DOD, DARPA, Artelex, and all of this in the context of killing the dollar, but also in the context of the larger globalist agenda. If you didn't catch yesterday's show, we played a video that was actually based on or a read of my article from March 31st of 2013, okay, about killing the dollar and Obama's agenda. And this is going to come into play today as well because, oh, my goodness, Fed's to print a trillion-dollar coin, maybe? Maybe? Question mark? Ha-ha. And there's something in the U.S. code that will allow them to do that. So don't laugh. Well, laugh, but cry as well. We've got really an invasion at the southern border still continuing, and it's by design. The next hotspot, and I sent this out over Galileo, and folks in the program description box at HagmanReport.com, satellite phone store in Galileo, it's really going to be required because I don't know how long we're going to be on the air. We're going to be on the air until, at least not, well, we're already out of some search engines, all right? So, but anyway, I talked about this. Yuma, Arizona is going to be the new hotspot. And I saw, concurrent with that, I saw Steve Bannon had someone from the Center for Immigration Studies on talking about that as well. I'm going to be addressing the virus, the Communist Chinese Party virus, or the Anglo-Asian biological weapon and the bioweapon as well in terms of the vaccine, which is not a vaccine. You know that. A couple of things there that you need to know about. And of course, we're going to be addressing domestic terrorism as well. Now, riding shotgun with me through all of this and commenting through all of this, Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvostInstitute.com. I almost said Johns Hopkins. I don't know why. Tell me why.
You scared me there. I was like, is Richard not supposed to be on?
No, you know, I had my Mr. Marbles Biden moment there. Johns Hopkins. Okay. Yeah, whatever. All right. So
the ice cream truck's coming down the road.
Yeah, two scoops. And yeah. So
get your sprinkles.
Let me tell you something. Okay. If I were to get like that, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, you know, smile and just tell me, hey, you know, we're all going for ice cream, Doug, and come on, and sit me in the front seat of the car, passenger seat, and you sit behind me, okay? And when I'm just sitting there smiling and waiting to go for ice cream, you go, whack! Put me out of my misery, all right? If I ever get like that.
I prefer a garbage bag.
Ooh. Ooh. Sounds like you've done this before. Now, you know what, folks? We have to keep, look, we have to keep our spiritual and our, we have to keep really our spiritual life up. We have to be strong spiritually. We have to be strong in prayer. We have to really understand that this, you know, this is a battle. This is a spiritual battle as much as it is a physical battle. So that's we really have to, and we also have to keep up a sense of humor. I want to interject this. Please, please, folks, keep praying for my dear friend, my brother, Steve Quayle. Just keep praying for him. Pray for his full and speedy recovery. All right. Now, again, he doesn't want people to, he's a very private guy. Believe it or not, he's private. So I'm just going to tell you, please pray for him. Okay. He's home, but you know, it's a battle. Okay. So please pray for him. I know that we are here as well. And I ask that you pray for him and keep him in your prayers and pray for his full recovery. Okay. Do that for me. Moving along. I also.
And obviously, Steve won't be on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you for that.
There is a chance.
Yeah, we're working on this now. I'm sorry, I had to regain my regain myself there for a minute. Tomorrow, maybe, very possibly, Mike Lindell with Brandon House tomorrow. All right. Possibly. We're working on some scheduling issues. So that's pretty cool. That's, because Mike Lindell was on with Steve Bannon talking about the threats that they got from Dominion, alleged. Okay. Again. But you know, no holds barred tomorrow if that's the case. So,
and if he doesn't come on tomorrow, he'll be on soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
He's busy.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, he's everywhere. So God bless that man. And you know what? There are a lot of things happening behind the scenes. Okay. There are attacks on alternate media personalities. And I'm not looking for any, you know, oh, you'll be okay. You know, pat on the head kind of thing, or I'm not looking for any sympathy or anything like that. But folks, you've got no idea the battle that's going on behind the scenes. The labels of domestic terrorism, the antagonism that is being thrown our way. Now, we have some very good allies. But, you know, people tend to think, well, like Alex Jones, InfoWars, he's the only, or he's the biggest target. Yeah, and he is the biggest target, but he's not the only target. You know, Brandon House, for example, death threats, threats of killing his family. Oh, yeah. And here, too. And you would think that, see, back in the olden days, Eric the Tech, if somebody threatened you.
1979.
Yeah. Well, I remember. I remember. It's kind of hazy, but I remember.
What were you driving then?
In 79?
Yep.
76 Caprice Classic.
Nice.
All right.
Cop boat. Car.
No. A big boat. Wait a minute. Caprice, Chevy Caprice four-door. What, was that a classic?
I don't know, but the cops use that, correct?
No. This was as big as like a boat. Okay. That's what I was driving in 79 for a while until I ran the wheels off of it. But, before that, I had a Chevy Camaro, which was my favorite. Okay. That was a, my, oh man. Anyone selling a 71, 72 split bumper Camaro white with a vinyl top, let me know. Automatic. Let me know. Let me know.
For under 10 grand.
I was going to say, wait now. Yeah. Yeah, for, you know, single digit or, you know, the thousands. Yeah. I should have clarified that.
In good condition. You're looking at, what, 60 plus for that car?
Really?
I think so.
And I should have kept mine. Bumper. I should have kept mine. Wow. Okay, never mind about that. Eric, that's why I have Eric keep you out of trouble. Okay. But yeah, so there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. I just want to say that, there are, people that want in the alternative media, and there's some, let me tell you something. There are some snakes in the alternative media. Okay. I'm going to be upfront with you about that. There are some people, members of the alternative media that I would stay. I mean, I don't want to be in the same city, state as them. Okay. I'm not going to name them, but I will say that, you know, Alex Jones, InfoWars, that's not one of them. No. They're, as far as I'm concerned, he's, you know, been right on the money. David Knight as well, and Owen Schroyer, and all the entire staff there. You know, of course, Brandon House, who's got Worldview Weekend. He's a real heavy hitter. And, I can't name them all, because if I forget somebody, they're going to say, well, you didn't mention so. No. I just want to tell you that there's infiltration in all ranks, in all areas, infiltration in the military, infiltration in all aspects of society right now. People who you think are your friends, you better double check and triple check, because they're the ones that are going to be, you know, helping you into the cattle cars. Cattle cars? Yes. Yes. All right. So anyway, let's get on with the program. Tomorrow maybe, like I said, Lindell. Richard Proctor, ProvostInstitute.com, not Johns Hopkins officials, but ProvostInstitute.com. Richard Proctor's going to be riding shotgun with me. We're going to go through, take this opportunity to go through some issues and then whatever he wants to talk about. But I just got to talk about a few things up front here and get his take on a few things. Richard, how are you today?
Well, by the way, if you're going to call me John, make it John Hancock. He was a buddy of mine back in the early days.
Well,
I was, you know, he and I, we were contemporary, worked out really well.
You had English tea together, I take it, right?
Yes. 4 o'clock.
At 4 o'clock.
Tea is really nice. You know, you have biscuits and you have pastries and, oh yeah, it's very nice. Cake. Oh, it's just not tea. It's a whole passel of really good things.
And today you'd be having bangers and mash, right?
Yeah. Okay. No, I wouldn't. He could.
Did you wear those fluffy clothes?
Yeah, and the powdered wig?
Oh, well, yeah, you had all those kinds of things. If I was there, you know, paying attention to what was going on. You bet.
You know, I love your attitude toward your chronological age, because, you know, a lot of people – I don't age well, okay? I'm not aging well. So I like your attitude about it. My attitude about aging just is not good.
Well, you were talking about cars just a moment ago, a car you had. I bought a 1948 Chevrolet green two-door, outstanding, good shape, for $10. Drove it for a year.
For $10. What year was that? Like 62? Oh,
what year was it? Yeah. 60.
All right. Yeah, I figured. You know, back then, and yeah. Oh, yeah. Missed those times. But you know, that kind of enters into a lot of things here. Let's talk about the elephant in the room here, okay? If there was one. Let's talk about this because you're the expert in this. But people, I don't think people should dismiss this talk about the budget, you know, the reconciliation, budgetary reconciliation bill, the aggregate, $4.7 trillion in two bills, $3.5 trillion in one, $1.2 in the other, $4.7 total. But they're talking.
People don't understand. This is terrible.
Exactly. Axios, and this was the headline on Drudge for a while. Axios for a couple of, Drudge for a couple of days had Axios. I linked to the Axios story, which we've got the page.
$1 trillion coin.
Yeah. Now here's, okay, so here's where I need, and I think it's important
$1 trillion
for
coin. Yeah,
first of all.
Maybe they'll put your face on that, Doug.
Well, there was actually talk about putting Trump's face on it to rub his...
The reconciliation process.
Yes. Now, we have to talk about this for a number of reasons, okay? Have you... First of all, let me ask you, did you see this at all?
No, I did not, but okay. I'm looking at it now really close.
All right. There's another part of this that I found very troubling, because I looked at this as, you know, oh, this is just kind of a BS thing, right? Because you can't do, I mean, who would even buy into this? And yesterday I played We Will Kill the Dollar, okay, from a YouTuber that took my article from 2013 and put it into just a tremendous video. Folks, if you haven't seen that, please visit that. But here's the issue that that concerns me, because everyone's kind of chuckling about this. But did you know? Obviously, this is not constitutional, but from an economic standpoint, I want to get your take on this. The question is, how is this possible when the Treasury Secretary can't simply print money to pay public debts? Okay, the Treasury Secretary doesn't have that ability. But there's a law, this really obscure law from 20 years ago, that appears to allow the administration to mint coins of any denomination without congressional approval as long as they're made of platinum. Did you know that?
Well, you know, I'm sorry, that's not necessary. That law is not necessary. It says right here, Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 5,
yep.
Okay, coin... Let's see, no, I'm in the wrong place. Section 8, paragraph 5 says to coin money. Doesn't say denomination, doesn't say requirement. No, they can do it. Coin money.
Well, okay, so that's the Constitution part of it, but see.
Oh, I know, that's old stuff, I know.
Yeah, we don't deal with it. I mean, nothing's got. So here's 31 U.S.C. section 5112, okay, the U.S. code, 31 U.S.C., 5112. Here's what this says. And I looked this up and I thought, wait a minute. Okay. And I thought of you. And I thought, okay, so here's what they're hanging their hat on. And again, this is, I'm not kidding about this. The Secretary of the Treasury may mint and issue only the following coins. And they go through like five, including, you know, from a dollar to the 5 cent piece. But then there's section. And this has, you know, In God We Trust on it and stuff. There's the section, where did I see that? Silver, platinum coins. It's under this section dealing with platinum coins, which allows any denomination to be printed. So in theory, and this is what these morons are talking about, in theory, we can print a $1 trillion platinum coin and it would solve our problems.
That's stupid. That's stupid. If I could be God, it'd solve the problems too. That's about as true as the other, you know? Come on. It won't solve anything. Put $1 trillion. Hey, Germany in 23 printed a $2 trillion postage stamp for first class mail.
Well, you know, now the question is, did it get there on time?
$2 million mark. I'm sorry, $2 million mark. Yep.
2 million marks. At what point does everything become meaningless? And really, from an economic standpoint, because I believe, after yesterday, and really thinking about this yesterday, I believe, Richard, that everything that we're seeing is about a global reset, but very specifically about a currency that the globalists can track and keep track of you and control us. That's what I'm thinking. So.
It was, that'll be cyber coin, cyber money. That could be the cyber money.
Or, you know, a combination of, it could be cyber money or, a combination of, fiat money with a digital, but you can't use it without a digital passport kind of thing. You know, it could be.
Yeah, that's possible.
All right. So different levels. And so.
But.
Go ahead.
Doug, you don't need, you don't need to have a digital passport because they're already giving you injections right here that have graphite in that can be detected.
Yeah.
So you don't need to carry anything. So if you don't have graphite to be detected, you can't go in the store. You can't do anything. You don't have the graphite.
Well, okay. Now you're referring to graphene oxide, which has been denied. Okay. I said, oh.
I've seen it in it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you have. Dr. Carey.
Seen it.
Dr. Carey Madej.
I've seen it. I don't care what they deny. They deny anything they want. They lie like a rug, you know. So.
Yeah, they do.
I've seen it. I've also seen the magnets sticking to people. Oh, yes, I've seen these things. Not one or two scads of them.
And you know, about that, and I have on a hard drive, a medical doctor actually performing tests in a clinical setting of the magnet thing. All right. And yes, magnet does adhere. Now, without getting into details about the conditions and the times and the ages and such, how is this, in your estimation, obviously this is part of a big surveillance dragnet, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's the biggest surveillance thing we've done. Folks, listen, think about this for a moment. If you have something in your body that a magnet can attract or can hold to, okay, that's a metal substance. That metal substance can trigger I don't know what the word is. They have them when you go to the stores. They have these
RFID
machines.
Yeah, RFID.
RFID. That's good enough. That's exactly the right thing to say. If they can trigger that, then they can trigger it any time they want, any distance away they want. Now, think for a moment that a car can be traveling at 70, 80 mile an hour down the road, drive under a camera, and the camera can identify the license plate, the car, the type of driver, everything. At 80 mile an hour down the road, it's gone, but it still does it. So that kind of sensitivity can be put into a machine that would track those little shots that are right here in your arm. And they can keep track of everywhere you went forever. You can't stop that. And that's what I see. I see you don't need a passport anymore. That's all you need. That thing in your arm. That's why the government wants you to have it so badly. Because we've got to have everybody have that so we can track them all over the country. I've got a whole section about tracking people in the Liberty series.
Yes,
this is an extension of it. Folks, that's what's going on. That's the kind of thing that's happening. This is not by accident. Come on. Everybody's getting the jab. It's not a vaccine. Vaccine's cure. Vaccine gives you a little bit of the disease so that your immune system can detect it and you will be free. You won't get it because the immune system will stop it. Well, this doesn't do that because they don't know what the disease is. So they can't get a little piece of the disease to put in it. So they can't make a vaccine. The only thing they can make is a fluid stuff in your body to do what they want done.
Exactly. Exactly.
Tracking the people is a big deal. It is a big deal.
Yeah, it is. And now I also want to mention, okay, what's come out in recent, now we've known this, but this has come out, been confirmed in recent weeks. Google is now interfacing with federal officials to offer information about keyword-specific searches. Now this, okay, so the, and Richard, tell me how badly this violates the Constitution. So you could be sitting in your office or at home or wherever, and you could type keywords into a Google search engine or a Alphabet or Google search powered search engine. Okay. And, let's just say now this is the pretext they're using. This is to protect the victims of, violent, domestic and sexual assault. Let's say you type that person's name in the search engine. That's flagged at Google or the Google powered search engine, that name, and they can go to your computer and see what you're doing on your computer. Did you know? But that's a pretext. It's for the safety and security of, you know, the victims. However, there's another part to that story that says other search terms are also subject to warrantless.
Obviously.
So, yeah, right. So I could type in like how to make an atom bomb or something or whatever, or, you know, how to slap an Antifa moron. Okay. And that might trigger something. But this is, and it's been going on for a number of years now. But.
And the lab and the computer that's keeping track of all that is sitting right here, not far from me, about, I don't know, half hour drive from me, that's keeping track of all that stuff. It's in Bluffdale, Utah. Oh, yes. I know it's there. I see it. I mean, I haven't seen it. I could see it. I could drive to it.
You know, I got an idea. You can drive to it. You and I, we're a couple of old codgers. We should get in one of those big boats from the 70s, you know, the cars. And of course, you know, I could claim my blood sugar's off, and we could drive right through that place, and I wonder how much damage we could do. And just claim, hey, I was confused. I thought it was, you know, the drive-thru at McDonald's or Wendy's. What do you think about that? We should do that.
If you want to do the damage, don't do it like that. Just turn off the water so the machinery will burn up.
Hey, there you go. That's right. We can do that.
All you have to do is the water. Well, they do millions of gallons of water. So just turn off the water.
Yeah. Now you and I are talking like this. Of course, this is all, folks, you know, this is not, and the enemies listen to us. I mean, this is not, you know, we're already on domestic terrorist list anyway, but, you know, so what are they going to do to us? Put us on twice, put our name on twice? No, we're not suggesting advocating that. That was a joke, okay? Have a sense of humor, you morons.
Yeah, no, I never advocated violence of any kind. Right. I want political process.
You know, and it seems to me, and so we're on that subject, political process. It seems to me that we're not going to get that. What are your thoughts? I mean,
So that's my thoughts. I don't have to say any more than that.
It ain't going to work.
We're not going to go. For 2 years, I've been trying to teach that subject when we could have prepared very easily for it. But now it's been like pulling teeth to prepare for it. So, you know. It's too late. Oh, it's not too late, but it's late, folks. You know, political process requires an election. Well, the election's already happened and gone. Will there be another one? No, I don't think so. And will these machines still did stuff in California just recently? They're still there. They're still being used. Come on, folks. They're not ever going to get rid of that tool.
And I got to say this, okay? Just by mentioning those machines, specifically Dominion. Now, I'm gonna go out on a limb here. Not really. Okay, so I'm saying Dominion voting machines. They gotta go. All right. Voting machines, period, have to go. We have to go to hard copy ballots, hand counted hard copy ballots. Okay.
Yes.
Now, what's going on, and people have to understand this, because look, folks, we have been talking about this for a long time. And yes, we've mentioned Dominion. Yes, we've mentioned Smartmatic. Yes, we've mentioned other platforms. Okay, so letters are going out that are very threatening. In fact, Mike Lindell was on with Steve I think it was just a clip from the Lindell report, where Dominion has sent out some pretty mafia-esque-like letters, threatening letters to people who are talking about this and their family members. Just saying. Okay.
But so. isn't that how the satanic organization always works?
Yeah.
They always do that.
Yeah, they do.
I would reference a man by the name of Perot, who was running for president, was probably going to be elected. Yeah. And so they got rid of him. got him to pull his stuff, and he came back in again a month later, but didn't make any difference. Didn't do anything.
Yeah, yeah. So
they do this kind of stuff all the time. This is not unusual. You talk about the tracking. You mentioned the computer stuff, keep track, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Folks, I want you to, the voting stuff. You could. I want you to think for a minute back. Let's just go back 20 years from now. Well, you can't go back that far. Let's go back 10 or 15 years ago, before this stuff came up. Let's go back into 1990. I guess that is 30 years ago. So let's go back to 1990. In 1990, they were announcing results of elections almost as fast as they happened. The news knew who was ahead and who was behind in every election that they wanted to look at. How?
Wow.
And they were paper ballots, guys. Those were paper ballots in those days. How did they have that information? How?
Yeah, it certainly doesn't take Dick Tracy, to really figure that one out, right?
Yeah. See, so they've been following these elections for men, and they've been able to monitor and change and adjust the elections, just didn't do it by the government yet, but now they do.
Right. Well, and you know, again, this is the fight where we're at right now. Again, you're going to be speaking with Michael Lindell here, but this is the fight we're fighting. So, but you've got Republicans, Democrats, politicians both sides of the aisle refusing to even entertain or refusing to do anything about these machines. And you know, people are saying, oh, we're going to get them in 2022. We're going to get them in 2024. Yeah, you think? You know? Okay.
It's done. It's over. It's finished. The machines would be gone by now if anybody really wanted them gone.
Yes.
But nobody does. Nobody in any place. Not any state, no place. Because it's too valuable a tool. Let's just look at stuff that's happened since November the 3rd. Let's just look at what's happened. How many people have complained about the machines falsifying the votes? I mean, that's what Liddell's going to talk about. That's his forte.
Right.
He proved it. Okay? I saw it on his thing, unless it was a whole manufactured video, which, of course, it was not, because they're blackballing him. If they weren't blackballing him, you know, they didn't care. But they do care, so they're blackballing you. That's the measurement. Those people get after you, then what you're doing is right. And that's your measurement. Because if you were doing something that was wrong, they wouldn't care.
And that's how, you know what, I got to tell you, that's how I measure, how we measure our success. Because we could tell, like, when they suppress numbers, all right, and they suppress the you've experienced it, where there's suppression of the findings on search engines, all right? And this is what's going on with us, too. So we know we're over the target. You're over the target. We're over the target when this happens to us. But people don't quite get this. Let me
illustrate something that shows the importance of you and the importance of me, okay? Now, I've been doing the podcast for 6 months, half a year. That's a lot of time.
Yep.
And I still haven't broken 3,000 visits. Now, I don't mean 3,000 individuals, 3,000 visits. So I'm not on the radar yet. That's not enough. If it was 10,000, I'd be on the radar. So I'm kind of safe. I'm not on the radar. You are, but I'm not.
Well, you know, but the numbers, okay, so... And let me address this, because this really, it does affect pretty much everybody in different ways. Okay. Our numbers last 30 days, and this has been like a consistent, if you kind of take a slide and just slide it over like a linear calendar, is at 1.56 million unique downloads across all platforms. But then you look at, like, certain platforms, the numbers don't reflect the actual number of downloads. I'm thinking, wow, okay, so how does that work? So if a video shows 3,000 downloads, but you know, based on the metrics that you're provided through the back end, that it's, you know, 10 times that, I just not even sure how that, but then on the other side of things, if you try to find, we'll say a specific, if you try to find a specific video of yours, you may not find it using search terms and keywords.
You know, you can't find the articles in my books anymore. They're gone.
Right.
They're all gone. This is a historical archive now. That Liberties here is a historical archive. But still, I haven't moved enough of the books to make a dent. Therefore, they don't care yet. When it makes a dent, we start talking about 100,000 books, then they will begin to care. But at this point, they don't care. I'm not enough of a threat.
Well, you know, is it, and this is a question for everyone. Is it the information or is it only the numbers? Okay. Because I know a lot of people, whose numbers are really high, but the information isn't really, it's, you know, an inch deep and a mile wide, as opposed to, you know, a mile deep, as it should be when you dig for answers.
But that's why those guys don't pay attention to the numbers. You just said it. The information's not strong enough. It's not important enough. It's not deep enough. It's not precise. So that's why the numbers don't matter.
Mm.
The numbers matter if the information is correct.
That's a very good point. All right. Well, okay, a couple of other things real quick here that this bothers me a lot. I talked yesterday about this and I sent out an alert by way of Galileo. You had mentioned just now, or just a little bit ago, talking about the threats, you know, I think you were talking about the, county councils or I don't recall it. It was the specific context, but here's the thing. Attorney General Merrick Garland, and if you want to put this up on the page, the DOJ page, if you don't mind, Eric the Tech. I want to see if you saw this. This is a page from the Justice Department addressing violent threats against school officials and teachers. Okay, this is from the Department of Justice. And folks, if you're watching this, here it is right here. Okay, now, there's a reason I want to show you this. Richard Proctor Provost Institute, there's a reason I want to show you this, all right? So the headline is, Justice Department addresses violent threats against school officials and teachers, all right? Now, you would take that to mean, okay, there have been threats against school officials and teachers, all right? So yeah. You read this article, this from the Department of Justice. There are no examples. There's no citations of any threats made. As a matter of fact, it's very opaque and vague. Now, okay.
And it's public citizens, not terrorists, that are doing it.
Correct.
It's people that are so angry at what the schools are doing to their children that they're getting fed up with it and going to stop it. Now they're calling it illegal, but it isn't. They're doing it in the normal fashion. They are telling these people to stop. Stop turning our children over. Stop ruining our children. That's what they're trying to do. That's not. And the only reason they're looking at it is because it's damaging to their intent. It's damaging to the fact that the schools may have to not do so many stupid things.
But okay, so the school is one part of this. And that's why I wanted that page from the Department of Justice to be put on the screen. Now, there's a memo. Okay, the memo from Merrick Garland. All right, now there's two parts to this, actually three parts. The first part is the aspect of the school, threats to schools and school officials and such. The memo, again, lacks citation, lacks anything, but there it is. It's dated this past Monday, and it's to all the field offices and the U.S. attorneys for the field offices of the FBI and the different jurisdictions of the U.S. attorneys. Okay, now here's kind of what I wanted to show you. Again, I want to lay this out because there's three parts of this. Now, the first part is this is where the Attorney General Merrick Garland is addressing this non-existent threat that would label parents and others, but parents as domestic terrorists. As the FBI and the Department of Justice works with the local, state, and tribal law enforcement agencies. Okay, now that's part one. And that's only a small part, okay? But that's it's only part of this memo. So is that – this is obviously to chill discourse and to keep moms and dads who are really hacked off at the curriculum home.
Yes, that's okay. What it is.
All right. No way, shape, or form is this constitutional, correct?
No, this is not, because you see, the word threats, they don't define who's threatening. You see, this is how government gets away with garbage. They throw out a word, and they don't define what they mean by the word, so that we will understand what they're trying to do. For example, the 20th Amendment has a word qualify, but they don't define what qualify means. So since they don't define it, they can define it however they want at the time they want. Threats. Who's threatening them? Is it Russian? Is it the Russian mafia is threatening them? Or is it the parents of the children that are being destroyed by these people? Who's making the threat? And they don't define it. They just say there is one. Of course there's one. We've seen a lot of we had one school board I'm pretty sure that was Texas, but it may not have been. One school board that was so angry, they were mobbing the place. The sheriff was there, and the school board took off out the back door.
Right.
Who were they? They were the parents of the people. They were not any threat to life or limb. But it is a threat. Therefore, we got to stop that, because we can't have these people messing with our stuff. See, you've got to see the words and how the words are used and how they're not used.
That's
very
right.
Very important. Words are crucial. And they say threat. Who's doing the threat?
Speaking of words usage, I got to tell you, Rob Pugh from Wisconsin Christian News, God bless that man, folks, subscribe to Wisconsin Christian News, but he sent me a copy of 1828 dictionary, Noah Webster's dictionary of 1828. God bless that man.
So, hard copy of it?
Hard copy. I've got it in my office.
Yeah, that's neat. I've got one of those too, but nobody sent it to me. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, yeah. So, because I'm more special. I'm special.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's what I keep pointing out.
Yeah.
No problem.
I got a crooked smile. anyway, yeah. But seriously, when you look at definitions, wow, what a difference. Okay. So that was part one of that. Okay. So, but you had mentioned about, I believe it was county boards and, county stuff as well. Before we move on from the school aspect of things, did I have this up here or not? Okay, maybe I didn't, or did I in my show pro? Okay, here's what I wanted you to hear, and folks, listen to this. I guess I didn't. Conservative Treehouse did a great job of explaining this. Merrick Garland, who's the Attorney General of the United States, now tell me if this is a conflict of interest, and tell me how you feel about this. Merrick Garland's daughter is married to the co-founder of the education company selling critical race theory resource materials to school districts.
Well, how about that? I didn't realize that.
There you go.
That's very important. Critical race theory is a destruction of our society. So the people who are doing that, sending it out, are the people who we need to stop. We need to stop them from doing it. All we have to do is not use it. That'll stop them. But since the terrorists, the threats, you see, that we talked about just a moment ago, are against the people doing that, using it to influence their children, then we've got to stop the threat, and we've got to stop the challenge that we won't be able to teach the critical race theory.
Precisely.
Isn't it interesting? It all comes back together.
Isn't that-
but they never tie it together. They never define. Let me mention something that happened to me right here.
Okay.
I went to see the sheriff for Davis County. Nice fellow. Very nice fellow. We had a very good conversation. He says, yes, I'm going to stand up for the Constitution. I'm going to do everything you're talking about. And I have a big enough force to do it. We can do it, and we will. Unless the legislature passes a law. Uh-oh. See the getaway phrase? If there's a law, then obviously I have to obey the law. But he doesn't pay any attention to the Constitution and the laws which shall be made in accordance with, that's Article 6, Paragraph 1, in accordance with. So therefore, he's wrong in his defining what the law is going to be. I asked him directly in an email, when a rogue Congress of the United States passes a law that's unconstitutional, what are you going to do then? And he would not respond.
Oh, boy.
See, that's words they use. That's how he gets away with it. He sat there and said, oh, I'm right with you. We're in lockstep together. Yes, sirree. But I got to have a law. As soon as I have a law, I'm going to do it. He's the same fellow, but going around to places in our county, closing them because of an edict that he's calling a law.
So he's not. So words, although words matter, his don't.
That's right. He does what he wants to do because that's what he wants to do. Right. There wasn't a law, but he did it anyway. My wife was in the room watching it happen.
Okay. So we have to be, we have to watch out for these scoundrels on this kind of thing. Okay. That's very interesting.
You know how I keep saying attorneys can make black seem like white and you'll agree with it before he's done?
Oh, yeah.
Keynes, he wrote a formula about how to do inflation. I'm sure there's a dividing by zero in there somewhere that nullifies the whole thing. But I can't read it because it's too complicated of math. The math, I can't read it. MV equals PT. I can read that. I understand that. That's easy. But they don't like that because it is easy. So they do something else so they can hide what they're doing. It's how the words are used. It's how phrases are used, how math, things are used. I talked about statistics, line with statistics. It's how things are used. If you don't understand exactly what the statistician has used to come up with the answer, you will think that it's going like this, up and down like this, when it's really only doing this right here because of the way the statistician wrote it down.
Precisely. And I want to get to talk more about this here. But before I get into that, I just want to go to like point two on this domestic terror threat. Okay. Because this is, again, this is something you mentioned. So I'm looking at this memo from the Department of Justice saying, okay, the FBI is going to interface with local, state, and federal law, or local and state and tribal law enforcement agencies to address the threat of domestic terrorists, meaning parents, at school boards. But there's one more thing. There's two more things. The other part of this, which is not stated specifically in this memo, is in addition to the school boards, it's going to be county boards, because now people in general are going to the county council meetings and county supervisors meetings or whatever you might have in your area. And they are complaining about the mask ordinances, mandates, and what have you, and the closures and such. So the very same application to school boards, as identified in that memo, according to the source I have at Department of Justice, will apply for the county meetings as well, and increased federal oversight there. That's number two. And in conjunction with that, we've talked, and this is something you and I have talked about before, the third part of this is, what's not mentioned in this memo, is the use of the Capitol Police where available.
Yes. And that's the next goal. Put the Capitol Police there so you don't have to worry about a local police force. We got a big one.
So,
and another thing,
yeah.
The FBI is an unconstitutional organization. Let's start with that. FBI goes into a place and says, we're in charge, and everybody bows down to the floor and says, yes, you are. Thank you very much. What? It's an unconstitutional organization.
So we just allow this to happen, right?
Yes, we just allow these things to happen. We believe that the federal government is in charge. Therefore, whatever the federal government does is okay and correct. That's how people believe. It is not true. That's a lie. That's a lie that's been ingrained in us, in our society. All of us have been ingrained in that. Only those who think have broken away. So, the law from the federal government does not take precedence over a law from the state government.
That's very true. But see, the law is baloney at this point. The Constitution is got more holes in it now from people taking shots at it than anything I've ever seen.
I've got a book here that I read all the time. Oh, you can't see it. I'm holding it up, but nobody can see it. I've got this book that I read all the time.
Yeah.
Now, you notice how sometimes if I hold it in the wrong way, it disappears.
It's
going away. I can't make it go away, but I can sometimes. It's going away. Why? Because that's what the power wants. They want it gone.
Okay. And now speaking of that, okay, because this is the other thing that's really starting to make it, folks, you're going to be hearing more and more and more and more and more about this, and you've addressed this already. But please readdress this, because on Sunday we had our Patreon meeting. And very well-meaning and very, very well-informed, otherwise well-informed individual said, you know, Convention of States, the Constitutional Convention of States, that could very well be a save the day. And you and I know, okay, and I made that correction during that meeting, and to her credit, she says, okay, tell me more about this. I said, go to Provost Institute. Listen to, I believe it's podcast, I can't remember which podcast it is.
It's one or two or three. It's right in the front.
I was going to say four, but you got me on that. Okay. So
I don't know which one it is, but it's there, right at the front.
All right. So help me tell the audience why the Convention of States is a bad idea because we'll direct people to your podcast, Saving the Constitution podcast. The link is in the program description box, the Provost Institute. Scroll down and, open up.
I think it is number one. It talks about Convention of the States and there isn't two constitutions. I believe that's the one, number one. But it may not be.
All right.
But just look, it's there, it's there.
Okay, so people can drill down on that topic by going there. But for the purpose of right now, tell people who are otherwise unaware, because we're picking up listeners all the time, and viewers, tell why a Convention of States would be a bad idea.
Okay. We got to go back in history. If you don't know your history, you don't know what's going on today. You got to go back in the history just a little ways. We had some colonies that wanted to unite. Okay. And this is back like in 1760, that kind of time frame. And they banded together and then this happened in 81, the Articles of Confederation, there was a convention, and the colonies sent representatives to the convention to establish a legal government under the Articles of Confederation. Now, they were already operating under these during the Revolutionary War, which was prior to 81, but they were going to codify it now, so it was written down. They gave direct instructions to the people what they were supposed to do. Now, this was a constitutional convention, okay? And any convention called by Article 5, the second one in Article 5, the second one are all constitutional conventions. We've never had one since 1787. But anyway, here we go. We have a constitution convention that they met. When the gavel drops, bingo, they take charge and change every instruction they've been given. They never follow what they've been instructed. And the power is right there. The minute the gavel drops, the power reigns for the whole country in that group of people. So, now we come forward to 1787. The states gave definite instructions to every delegate that went to that organization. They knew that the Articles of Confederation weren't working. They'd been trying to do it for 6 years, and they don't work. It takes unanimous. Everybody has to agree, and everybody won't, so nothing gets done. Now, we want you to go there and fix the Articles of Confederation. That was precisely the instructions to every delegate. Before the day was out, on the first day, they had all thrown away those instructions, and they were doing what they wanted done. Now, remember, these men that went to these were honest, true patriots trying to establish a good government for the people. They're honest and true. Now, run ahead to 2021, and we're going to have a convention of states. What's the likelihood that the people that will show up to the convention of states will be of the caliber of the men who showed up to the to the Articles of Faith, Articles of Convention, or Articles of Confederation, and the Constitution we have now. Will the people that we have now measure up to the quality of people that were there then? So the minute that gavel drops, those people are going to delve into their history book, and they're going to go back to a constitution written in 1964 to 1974 by the Ford Foundation. It's called the New States Constitution. It's what it's called. I have a copy of it. That particular constitution takes away all rights. All of them. You have nothing left. The ratification, everyone says, when they're trying to get you the soundbite, oh, they got to have 3/4 of the states agreed. No, you don't, because this is a new document. All you have to do is whatever that document says. And that document says a committee in Washington. It does not say any state has to do anything. Remember, Articles of Confederation said you had have to have everybody agree. The convention says you have to have 3/4 of the states, because 3/4 of the states took over. That's because that's what the rule was in that one. In this one, you're going to have, we think it's going to have 3/4. It will be zero. It will be zero states necessary to pass it, to ratify it. So that's what the problem is. Everybody says, oh, we're going to have a convention. We're going to balance the budget. Garbage. We don't balance the budget today. Why will that make any difference? And in fact, if you'd use this book, we could balance the budget every year, just what's written in this book 200 years ago. Okay? It would balance the budget in a minute from that book. We don't need a new book. They say they're going to limit term limit on all the representatives and senators. We already have term limits on the president and the vice president. We're going to put term limits on the senators and the representatives. That's what it's for. Who do you think is going to be at the convention? Representatives of the attorneys representatives of the Senate and the House. They're going to be there. They're not going to have the House and the Senate limit their terms. Absolutely not. They're going to throw out any limitation. It's stupid that people fall for these lies. Let's look at another item. We had an amendment written in 1809, passed in 1819, that specifically said, it didn't say these words, but it specifically said anybody who receives a title, an honorary title, cannot be a citizen of the United States. An attorney, the word attorney, is a title. Your honor to a judge is a title. That's illegal. So they wrote a document, an amendment, the 13th Amendment was called, and it was ratified in 1819. And today it's gone. But it's still a legal amendment. It's still on the books. It's gone because in 1865, they passed a resolution, and Lincoln signed it. Oh, it's too bad. Anyway, they passed a resolution putting that aside. A resolution doesn't put an amendment aside. But that's what they did, and that's what happened to it. It's gone. It's still there, but it's gone. And if you want to see it, you have to go back in the history. Oh, you have to get by books again, folks. You have to get by books. This time it's volume 2 of the Liberty Series describes what happened, who did it, and how it was done. Okay? You need to have these books, you guys. If you don't know your history, you don't know anything. History is vastly important. And I'm just really disappointed that people don't understand how important history is.
We have to look back in order to see where we've been, but also more importantly, where we're going. Because the template has been, you know, there's nothing really new under the sun. The agenda has always been there for this global order. I mean, go back to the Bible, you know, the Tower of Babel. I mean, it's just like a 5.0, or, you know, like Windows 11 or whatever they're up to now. This is like a Tower of Babel, version 2021. So, I'm getting some feedback here. I apologize. I don't know what I've got to shorten my microphone. All right. So exactly. We need to understand history. And folks, you can go to provostinstitute.com and I would suggest getting the Liberty Series if you haven't done so already. It's pretty instructive. You're right too about the documentation of the news articles and such that are memorialized there.
They're not available anymore. No. You can't find those articles. So if I didn't have them there, you wouldn't know what I was talking about.
Exactly. And now they do exist. All right. I was able to do this recently. I did go to a library. Yes, I do once in a while. And I looked at the archives of some, I don't know if it was AP or I think it might have been an AP report. And I did find obviously something in the archives, as opposed to the internet, but okay. So there it is. However, it's a lot easier to get the Liberty series. All right. So
yeah, I've done all the research and put it all together, easily read.
Yeah. Yeah, you have. All right. I want to get your take on this as well. Let me just grab this so I'm okay. You talked about, you know, you're talking about, you did, when's your Patreon meeting?
Oh, it's on the third Tuesday.
Okay. You're going to be talking about conspiracies, right? Or secret societies or?
Yeah. Okay. The next one, we're going to talk about secret societies. Yes. It'll be Tuesday, the third Tuesday at 8:00 Eastern time. Yes.
All right. So we've got really two issues, three issues, well, two issues I'll address here with respect to your topic of the Patreon, your next Patreon meeting. Okay, so folks, go to patreon.com/Provis, P-R-O-V-I-S, all right, for Patreon, to sign up for his Patreon. Here's two things that are concerning. One is the southern border, all right? If you can bring that invasion article up there, I want to get your take on this. I believe this is an article. No, I'm sorry. If you don't mind, Richard Proctor, Provis Institute, can we take a listen to, I don't know, a 2-minute, 3-minute clip about the southern border? Do you mind?
Good. Perfect.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Because I want to know how, who, and I think we know why, but how and who is responsible for what we're about to see. All right. Now, this is from Steve Bannon's War Room. And go ahead and play, if you don't mind, this particular. The video title is, it's under invasion. It's a single clip under invasion of the show prep items for today. It'd be halfway down. Border invasion numbers could double. All right, so take a listen and watch this.
The great Todd Benzmans from CIS joins us right now. Todd, this Darien Gap is one of the most dangerous parts of the world, and that's where folks come in. That's the connection point between really South America, Colombia, and Panama, Central America. That is the path. When you have these migrants, you have these migrants coming up from Latin America. This is how they get through, in one of the most dangerous parts of the world. You're now predicting. You were down at Del Rio. You've been pretty good at saying, hey, this is where the next hit's going to come. You're saying now they're coming up through Latin America. They're coming through Central America. You think the next place is in Yuma, Arizona. Am I correct in that?
That's right. I have a piece out today at CIS.org, Center for Immigration Studies, quoting the numbers. I just go by the numbers, the data, which is showing a 2,400% increase in migrants moving through Arizona, that right at the California-Arizona line. We've had 91,000 so far this year cross through that, normally a pretty sleepy area, and it's the same nationality makeup as we saw in Del Rio. Lots and lots of Haitians, lots and lots of Cubans from the Caribbean and from nations all over the world. And so what I'm seeing is probably a major influx when that 60 to 80,000 starts coming. They're not going to go to Del Rio now because they were doing repatriation. That's got stench all over it over there. So they're going to head over to Yuma. I'm pretty sure that the numbers that we're seeing now, which are astronomical already in Yuma, are only going to escalate from here as those immigrants get to the border.
Todd, you talk about escalation. I got to do the rules of thumb. NBC and DHS are 400,000 in October as the desert cools down. 400,000. If they're saying 400,000, in your rule of thumb, How many does that translate to illegal aliens actually get in the country?
Well, I think probably if there are 400,000, I think that might be a little bit high. But if there are, all of them will attempt. The family units will probably all be let in. The pregnant women and the unaccompanied children will be let in probably right away. And the day that they lift Title 42 on the single adults, everybody will get in. Everybody gets in to go apply for asylum and disappear forever. But listen, it's so dire out there now. You can go to the Border Patrol, the Chief Border Patrol agent's Twitter account, and he's just like streaming 2,500 this weekend, 1,000 yesterday. They're having to draw Border Patrol agents from other already beleaguered parts of the border to Arizona to take care of the processing duty. Remember that processing duty? And yep. They're building more tents out there. So you've got a big tent situation. The Border Patrol believes that there is a huge influx coming to Yuma.
Okay, you can stop.
When can we anticipate?
And the entire clip will be available at HagmanReport.com or go to Bannon's War Room. So Richard Proctor, ProvostInstitute.com, riddle me this, answer me this, I guess. What the hell is going on?
We're at war. We're being invaded by the enemy. And Congress is supposed to call forth the militia. I'm reading Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 15. Call forth the militia to suppress, repel invasions. They're supposed to call forth the militia to repel invasions. Now, since people think, and it's not true, but they think the National Guard is that, why aren't we calling forth the National Guard to repel this invasion? Using the words of today. Now, let's assume that we had a militia in Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, and California. The militia, 1828 dictionary, is comprised of all able-bodied men in the community, all of them. I don't know what the population of Arizona is today. Let's just say 3 million, for example. I don't know what it is. Now, the Border Patrol has, I don't know how many people, what, 100, maybe 200? A militia of Arizona would have 800,000. Yeah, 2 million. Take the women away, you're down to that. You take the kids away, maybe it'd only be 500,000. That's the size of the militia of the state of Arizona. Every able-bodied man. You think maybe that could stop this thing? But the Constitution says it right here. It says it. We're supposed to have militias, and the militia is supposed to be all able-bodied men, and they're supposed to call for Congress, supposed to call forth those militias to repel an invasion, and nobody's doing it. Who's doing it? Now, a lot of people don't like Trump. Oh, I tell you what, a lot of people don't like Trump. He tried to build a wall. As soon as the fake got in there today, they began to tear down the wall he did build, and they canceled everything to do with the wall. And then they opened the borders with their hands out wide like that. Whoa, come on in. And they are. They are. And this pregnant women stuff, the Constitution speaks about that too. For a 14th Amendment, the Constitution says very, very clearly that to become a citizen of the United States, you have to be born in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. None of these women are subject to the jurisdiction. Therefore, their babies are not subject to the jurisdiction. So none of those babies are citizens. And that's what the Constitution says in the 14th Amendment. And it's very right. It's very accurate. I won't take issue at all and say that's wrong. I'll take issue with another part of the 14th Amendment and say that's not correct. But that one is right. You gotta have jurisdiction. The lady doesn't have it. Therefore, the kid doesn't have it either. They've defined the jurisdiction as one parent has to be a citizen of the United States, no matter where the child is born. Could be born in Siberia. If one parent is a citizen of the United States. The child is a citizen of the United States and considered natural born in addition. Okay? So it's not tough to be a natural born citizen as long as you have a parent that's a citizen. And if you don't have a parent, you got to go through the naturalization process. And that's not tough either, but takes a long time to do. The Constitution covers this. It says, have the militia stop it. And the militia of Arizona could stop it. Good.
Well, okay. So what about, okay, I'm looking at Governor Abbott of Texas. You know, he's putting up a good television face, good sound bites, all hat, no cattle in that respect at the southern border, in my estimation, in my opinion. Why aren't these governors, and I'll ask you, why aren't these governors saying, no, we're going to send, you know, absent of an official militia, Abbott did send some state troopers down to the border. I think it's Del Rio area, briefly.
Won't do a thing. Sorry.
But okay.
But how hard would it be for a governor who's really interested in protecting his southern border? Okay. This guy claims he is. I don't know if he is. I don't know if he isn't. He claims he is. How hard would it be to him to establish the constitutional militia as required by the Constitution? How hard? That would only have to call forth men with guns. He could say that, men with guns, because the federal government's not going to arm them, so, and the state hasn't the money, so we got to get people with weapons. How hard would it be for him to make a plea to the Texan population, and say, we've got to have a militia. 1828 defines a militia as every able-bodied man. Please, every able-bodied man, report to your county, report to your city. We're going to organize a militia, and we're going to send it down. We're going to close this border to protect our state. How hard?
Well, apparently it's extremely difficult, but
it isn't hard at all. No, he could do it in an announcement tomorrow. And he could have the whole militia formed by the end of the week, enough of it to go down and stop this stuff.
Are they, now in your estimation, because I would consider this, I would consider that, although I'd prefer that to be the case, I would submit to you that I think Texans and members of other states are going to take it upon themselves to do just that, minus the governor. Go ahead.
But you see, if they do that, Doug, they're a mob with guns. They'll be thrown in jail. I'm sorry. They're going down there with absolutely no force, nothing, no authority. If the guys turn around and go back, that's nice. But if they don't, what are you going to do? Fisticuffs?
Well,
shoot them? You'll all be in jail for assault, murder.
And that brings us to our present-day predicament, I suppose. Right now, we are facing no justice, really a broken legal system. Not even a broken justice system. That was broken a long time ago, but a broken legal system. We are facing, we are watching this unfettered invasion, which is posing a risk to our national security. The governors, the federal government, no one's doing a damn thing about it. We're not protecting our borders. In tandem with that, we're watching the dilution of our society. We're watching these people being relocated all over the country, spreading diseases, among other things, in crime. You're seeing, and may I say this, that it's related, you're seeing the crime, the Soros prosecutors not prosecuting things like, you know, mobs go into Macy's and grab $949 worth of stuff, and the stores just stand back and say, well, okay, you know, no one's stopping them. And it's mob rule out there. So I guess what I'm saying is that's the predicament that we face. So if we can't get assistance by anyone, it's up to us, isn't it?
Doug, up to us, who's going to authorize? Who's going to authorize John Doe to take his weapon down the border and shoot a guy coming over the border? Who's going to authorize that? He can't do it. I know the legal system's broken, but it's not broken for that guy. They will arrest him, throw him in jail, or execute him for welfare planned murder. I'm sorry, Doug. We're stuck. But we're stuck with a judicial system that doesn't work. And every governor in the country knows this.
So
they're not dummies. They know this. So they also, if they knew their constitution at all, if they had any idea what it says, they could call forth the militia and it would be legal. And now you have a force that can do something and with authority. And that's okay now. And it would take one executive order by a governor over his country, over his state.
There's no will. But see, the governors, there's no will.
They won't do it. So since there's no will, they're complicit with the deal. They're just trying to pretend they're not.
Correct.
So, I know our governor is complicit. Anybody that pays attention to our governor, he is complicit. So was the last one complicit. They wanted this thing to happen. They did everything they could to cause it. And our current guy is saying the same thing. So, you know, they're all complicit. Why are they complicit is very important. But they are. They could all stop this stuff. You could, in the North Dakota, how many problems are the North Dakota going to have from the southern border? None. Unless somebody picks them up on a plane or a bus and takes them there. Yeah. Don't you think they could have a militia and stop that at the airport or at the border? They ain't coming here. They're not coming here.
Well,
and the militia could do it. Every state could have a militia bigger than anything that would be brought against them at this point.
Okay. Well, you know, but you said it as well. The will to form militias at the governor, at the level of the governor, it's not there. Even at the, you know, sheriff's departments, it doesn't.
It's not there.
It's not there. No, so, okay. So what I see happening from this, and again, this is only going to increase this discontent. Is only going to increase with the shortages that are coming because we're going to see food shortages. We're already seeing them. You've got product shortages. You got container ships off both coasts. You've got medical supply shortages. I didn't even address that. Okay, so all of these shortages drug shortages.
It's all been caused by our country last year when they closed all the businesses, and now the people who closed them are complicit also because they're not reopening.
Okay. So absent of the political maneuvering.
Well,
now what?
Washington, Jefferson, Hancock, Adams were all illegal patriots. They fought against the law. They were traitors to their country. And they established ours. And the Declaration of Independence, we're right back to these documents. You see, I always try to go back to the documents. The Declaration of Independence says, I'm going to turn to it. I'll get to it. Very, very clear. You got to turn one more page. Very, very clearly. It says right here, I'm going to read it. Any government, let me find it exact. Any form, whenever, any form of government, any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, which are God-given rights. It is the right, responsibility of the people, and it's capitalized, to alter or abolish it, which is the government who's against it. So since every one of these governments are against it, and they won't do anything to protect the country, they won't live up to their oaths. They all took an oath to support this document. Every one of them took an oath. They raised their hand to the square. They said, we will do it. We will do it. Every one of them has lied, cheat. The only way we can fix it is to do the same thing we did to the King George. I hate to say that. I'm not for that. I do not agree. I think that we should do the things right. Right means follow this book.
Right,
they all swore they were going to. Why don't they?
Well, which brings me to this point, because President Trump issued a statement yesterday, and here's what he said. And this statement, by the way, this appeared on a very pro-President Trump message board, very pro-conservative message board. Patriots.win. That's Patriots.win. This is where I'm referencing this, okay? Here's the statement. He said, essentially, I'm paraphrasing, the only thing the radical left Democrats who are destroying our nation are good at is rigging elections and criminal activity while always blaming the other side through the corrupt prosecutors and prosecutions. Now this is a key sentence right here. Our country is in big trouble. We better get going fast. Okay, that was a quote, and I'm ending that quote. But wait a second. You want to know what the first comment on this message board, again, patriots.win, they got a lot of upvotes, was? I'll tell you what the comment is. Tell us how, Mr. President. Tell us how.
My first one was, where are you? My first question would be, stop talking and do something.
Yeah. Another comment says, hey, okay, it's top secret between you and me, and don't tell a soul. The plan is, there is no plan. That's the plan. But you're right, though. You're right.
Stop talking and do something. Stop going to meetings, campaign meetings for the next election that won't be. Stop wasting your time, Trump. I've supported you, Donald Trump. Why don't you do something? Don't sit around and say what ought to be done, talking to a pot-bellied stove. Go do something. The country would be behind you. 90 million people voted for you, and they will still be there if you just do something.
Well, 90 million might have voted, or 85, 90, whatever the number might have been, but certainly that's not what was counted, and guess what?
I don't care what's counted. I care what was voted.
Right.
And they all voted.
Right. Well,
they all voted. 90 million people voted for you, and you did nothing. And to date, now we're in October of this year, and nothing has happened at all. All this being done by you, President Trump, is that you are talking, never doing.
Well,
stop it. Do.
And interestingly enough, and I have to say this, after reading this thread, which is pinned at the top of this message board, you know, your words are echoed throughout the comments by people making the comments. You know, where are you? You know, we're waiting for you to lead. Okay. And then someone else says, well, wait a second. Why are we waiting for him to lead? Why aren't we doing stuff ourselves? And that's the dynamic of the conversation. So to in my estimation, and I'm going to kick it over to you, in my view, we are at the level now where the discussion has elevated to, hey, what are we going to do among patriots? What are we going to do about this? Should we wait for a leader, or should we, or are we going to wait for a leader, or are we going to each act independently and ultimately collectively to fix this? That's kind of where the discussion is at. It's dynamic discussion.
I think it was Argentina. They had a gentleman who stood up and organized the revolution. They called him the George Washington of Argentina. George Washington stood up and organized it, but he was just a person. They had lots of committees that got together to cause it, but Washington was the catalyst. He was the guy who actually made it happen. Now, Trump has the support of the people of this country. That's why I say to him, do it. Now, the people that are saying, why don't we do it ourselves? I agree with that also. If you do that, then you are violating the law. They can be arrest you and hang you like they would have, like they hung, you know. My only regret is that I have but one life to give for my country. Zoop. Okay.
Or the 600 languishing in jail in Washington D.C. from 1/6. You know, the January 6th.
Why don't someone? No one is rising to the occasion. Boy, I've gotten a bad picture here. Nobody. I'm having trouble getting my picture across now. Nobody's rising to the occasion. We're all sitting back saying, somebody do, somebody do. Well, I would, but I cannot because nobody paid any attention to me. But I haven't got the skill or the charisma or anything to do that. You know, Doug, my picture in the screen appears clear. Your picture coming back is not. Anyway, so what we have is a lot of people talking to their potbelly stove. Where is the leader? These people say, we should do it. You're right, we should. Remember, when we do it, we are outlaws. We're traitors to the country of the United States of America. Not the Republic, the corporation of the United States of America. The fence people, the people within that fence. We become traitors to that group of people. They have the power, just like King George had the power. They hang people, they execute people. King George had the power, and he did that. You need the leader that will stand up to that possibility and lead the people to do it. Trump can do it, and he can do it with authority because he has that authority. Everybody knows that he should be the president. Everybody who's anybody smart knows that he should be the president. Since he's not the president, he should step up and take those shoes, put them on, and get the military with him and do something. If he doesn't, then somebody else in the country has to do it. But so okay. Far...
Richard, yes. we are having some connectivity issues. Here's what we're going to do, because this is an important discussion to have. We're going to reconnect with you, okay? So sit right where you're at. And we're going to reconnect right away with you because we don't want this to go by the wayside. Again, very important discussion. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Going to be reconnecting right away. And again, on patriots.win, that's what I'm sourcing here. The question is, you know, subsequent to President Trump's statement of yesterday, well, you know, what do you want us to do? What's the plan? And the plan is there is no plan. And then, okay, if there is no plan, you know, what do we do? Do we do things individually, collectively? And just a tremendously intellectually stimulating discussion and perhaps a discussion that will propel others to get involved, to take action patriotically and legally and such. But, you know, just to tell you, at that level of discussion, that's where, really, I think that's where the majority of Americans, patriotic Americans, are at. What do we do? Do we have them back? All right, so we might be having issues. You just yell when he's up and running, or should I just? All right, let's try. Richard, you there?
I'm here. Okay. Waiting. I'm ready to go.
All right. You're frozen.
Should we go to Zoom really quickly?
Yeah. We'll try the other platform to Zoom. Okay. So we'll reconnect with you on Zoom. Coming right up. So, all right. But again, folks, this is where we're at. You know, we are looking for leadership when, in fact, we've got leadership skills ourselves. It's interesting, again, the conversation on this platform is a very dynamic conversation, in my view anyway, a very intellectually stimulating conversation. But I think all of us at this level, and correct me if I'm wrong, put your comments in at Rumble or Brighteon. I think all of us are looking for, we feel helpless. We feel like we can't do anything. Sure, we can volunteer on a local level. Sure, we can become committee members. Sure, we can show up at county council and school board meetings. But really, that's a process, and that's going to take some time to regain the control at that level. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try. Absolutely. We shouldn't do. Absolutely. But my question is, what do we do right now? And do we need that leader to lead us against, in my view anyway, against this tyrannical government that we have in place? Because we know it's tyrannical. We know it's Orwellian. We know it's dictatorial. We know it's fascist, don't we? I mean, seriously. So how do we fight that? You just give me a yell. He's on. What's that? All right. We're waiting for him to pop in. All right. So that's where we're at with that. But again, I would urge everyone to go to patriots.win. It's a really kind of a, it's really an interesting and a very, very good, conversation meeting place for patriots. All right. Now, this is troubling while we're waiting for, while we're waiting for Richard Proctor. I don't know how many people saw this. This is really about the assault on our culture. Gateway Pundit had this, and it didn't get a lot of play. It got some outrage, but really not that much. At least not yet. Shocking is the headline. Soros-funded scout troop pushes underage girls and boys to strip and perform sexually explicit games in Macedonia. Okay. There is cases of sexual abuse and abuse of and within scout groups. In this case, where adult instructors had underage children conduct sex games in the Balkan county of North Macedonia. But it's happening here. It's happening here too. Maybe that's why it's not getting like a lot of play here, but it's happening here. And to tell you that it's happening here, I want to direct your attention very quickly to this. And I don't know how many people have seen this or know about this. Let me just bring this up here again. Did you know, folks, that, hang on just one second here, in Ohio, and who lives in Ohio, and I gotta give some props, of course, Russ Dizdar lives in Ohio. 161 arrests made for human and child sex trafficking in Ohio. And some pretty big names fell. Now, I'm not saying necessarily that Russ, Craig, and the team had anything to do with it. No, I'm not going to say that. But there you go. A win. All right, so Richard Proctor. Again, people looking for leadership. So here we go. Let's try this.
I'd like to back up to what you were just talking about when I wasn't on the, when I just barely came on.
All right. Boy, all of a sudden, wait a second. All of a sudden you got a green behind or a green screen.
Yes, I do. You're going to have to put the, you're going to have to either stay green or you're going to have to put my thing on it.
That's actually, you look pretty good that way. So,
well, okay. Let's just stay green. Not to worry about
it. All right. Go ahead.
My green screen is back there. Nonetheless.
Yeah.
You just said, I heard Soros, Macedonia.
Right.
Overseas. Boys and girls.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
And it's happened in the States.
Mm-hmm.
If they're holding the age limit of scout troops starting at 11, boys aren't interested.
Mm. Mm. True. Well, it's a.
they might create an interest, but, you know, boys at that age are interested in scouting, they're not interested in girls.
Well,
never mind.
Well, in this case, and this is really a sick case, the children were instructed to take their clothes off in front of each other and to paint their private parts and stuff like that. It's just a sick thing.
Oh, but, well, then that's not what I was thinking it was. Never mind. Moving right along.
Yeah, let's change topics. Go ahead. But it's something that I want to mention in conjunction with the Ohio arrest and Ohio arrests, plural, which are not going to be making the news or making big news. But go ahead. Go ahead. Continue with what you're saying.
All right. Now are we going back to where we were?
Yes. Yes. Let's go back,
going
to,
back to where we were.
Let's go
now,
back
I
to
don't the, know where. I don't know where I got cut off. Where it started to happen.
Well, let's readdress this because I think this is so important, and I think this conversation is so important to have. Again, folks, the backdrop of this is President Trump said, hey, let's get going to fix these problems.
All right.
And,
ready.
Yeah.
From that point. All right.
So let's,
you want me to just press on now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Now, I won't be able to remember all the same things I talked about last time, but let's just go through my thoughts. President Trump, you had 90 million people vote for you. You have a position. People know you. They'll stand behind you. President Trump, you're saying things. Do them. Stop talking and do something. I mean, if you think that we should save our country, like you just said in that particular message that Doug read, if you say that and that is absolutely what you believe, then stop going to election campaign things for an election that's not going to happen. You're wasting your time. Do something that will save the country. Come on, do something. You could have done it in Florida in February, in January on the 20th. You could have done it then. You did not. You haven't done anything since that date. President Trump, you've got to do something. Stop talking and do. If the people, us, who should do this, decide to do it without your leadership, because your leadership can give it the authority, without your leadership, if you don't come and the people do it, then they will be traitors to the United States. And that group of people that are pretending like they're the president of this country in the fenced area will arrest these people and execute them just like King George did, because they will be traitors to the fence people. Let's call them the fence people. Those are the people in Washington D.C. beside the fence. They'll be traitors to the fence people. So they will get the justice system, and they will take these people, convict them, try them, and hang them, because you, Trump, didn't show up. Now, if you really believe this, show up. If you don't believe it, then you're a part of the problem, and I'm sorry I ever voted for you. Is that clear? Does that say the word?
Well, yeah, it's clear. It's clear. It's harsh. But you know what? Maybe harsh is what we need, isn't it?
If we just said mamby-pamby, well, Mr. Trump, could you please come and help us? We just, I don't know what we're going to do. You've got to help us. I don't know. Is that how you want to act, or do you want to do something?
Well, okay. So where we're at in sum and substance, I guess, is we're about to see major food shortages and supply shortages, supply chain disruptions. Our FBI, DOJ, ATF, CIA, ABC, IRS, you know, I mean, they're all corrupt. They're all non-functioning or functioning in a bad way. We're about to see unemployment get worse by the mandates, it makes no sense. You know, we're firing people and because they won't take the shot. That's where we're at. Go ahead.
All the things you just said
yep.
are very accurate. They're absolutely true. Who caused them? Who caused these things and why? The 50 governors caused them. Why? The current regime in Fence City caused them. Why? Why are these people doing this? We know what they're doing. We know how they're doing it. The question is, why are they doing it? And if they're doing it for the reason I think they're doing it, because they've been told to by the Illuminati, and the Illuminati does exist, they've been told to by the Illuminati to do it, and they're obeying the words of the Illuminati, then they are a part of the problem. Now, it depends if Donald Trump is not a part of that problem, then join with us and help us fix the United States and the Constitution and solve this problem that the government, the fence people, are causing. The people aren't causing these things. No person is quitting because I'm going to quit because I didn't get the shot. Governor, the mayor of Mayor De Blasio, Mayor Bill de Blasio, would have fired 148,000 people if they didn't take the shot by October the 1st,
right,
last week. They had a federal judge set that aside till the 4th. A panel of federal judges again went met over the weekend and vacated his restriction, and now all those people will be fired if they don't have the shot, the jab. In other words, put themselves and their family and their lives at jeopardy. Why are they doing this? Why do they care so much? We've had the flu with us for centuries. 60,000 people, 30, 40, 50, 60,000 died every year, and nobody seemed to give a care. All of a sudden, we have a flu disease that we don't really know how many people have died. But we do know that the country's been destroyed because of it, okay? And now they've got to take a jab, which is experimental. It's not tested. It's not true. It's not safe. It's experimental, and the experimental guinea pigs are dying or being destroyed or being having their lives destroyed because the bad effects of this experimental jab, and people are being forced to take it by the government. Why? None of these things are hidden. Why? Why are these people doing this? Why are the hospitals one of the worst violators of this facade? Why? Why are they one of the worst? What's going on behind the scenes that's causing these things to happen? The people aren't causing them. Okay? The people are saying, stop it, stop it. Or they're saying, I guess I better. One or the other. But they're doing it. They're following direction or they're rebelling. Those that are rebelling are getting fired by their bosses, by their companies. Why are these people doing that? Again, it goes right back to Soros and company, right back to those guys, the very people I write about in volume 1 through 6,
yep.
The very people trying to destroy our Constitution, where volume Saving the Constitution explains who they are again and what they're doing, although not as detailed as it does in the volumes. The point is, guys, somebody behind the scenes is trying to destroy our country, and our government is complicit. Are our governors complicit? Yes. It was the governors who did the edicts, who sent their health department people to close the businesses, make sure they're all closed, get those people out of those restaurants. I want to stay open. No, you cannot. We won't let you. Who is the we won't let you? It's the governor and his health department of each state. Now, the guy and the fence people are trying to say everybody's got to get the shot. We're going to mandatory. We're going to send people around. We're going to send troops. This is the feeling I've got. We're going to send troops with people with the shot and go to people's homes that haven't got it and force them. And if they won't take it, we're going to put them in isolation camp. Why are you doing those things? Who's controlling you? You're not doing those things because you get anything out of it unless the people controlling you give you things. We're not going to give anything to you. Okay? Why? There's so many whys. Everybody belly aches about what happened, but nobody's trying to find why and find out how to stop it. And Mr. Trump, if you believe what you just said, that we've got to get busy and do the plan, then come on over with the plan and your pizzazz, and people will accept you as president. You can be inaugurated as president in the Republic of the United States, not the United States of America, the Republic of the United States. In other words, what I'm doing, I'm trying to divide the corporation, republic, the fence people from the real people that are outside the fence.
How would that work?
It would work. It would work.
Well, you're talking about something akin to a divorce, right?
Yes.
In a sense. But this would not be. The children are going to suffer.
No. I believe my thought. Okay. From everything that I viewed, saw, heard, and paid attention to on January the 20th, everything I saw said that the military force was behind Trump as president. Everything I read said that. Everything I saw said that. I saw the military guys turn their backs on that false president as he drove his thing. I saw the flags behind the president in Florida. I heard the 21-gun salute in Florida. I heard the ruffles and flourishes in Florida. I did not hear any of those things in Washington, D.C. Therefore, the military, by their symbols, have recognized Trump as the president. Act now. If you've got the military, which you did have on those days, at least that part of the military, if you had the military in place, and you still do, if you still have everything you had then, and you have the people, 90 million people, you could come do the plan. But if we do the plan, if we have a plan and somebody stands up, then we'll be traitors to the fence people and they'll execute us for traitors, as traitors. And we'll put our lives at jeopardy. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. The Declaration of Independence says if the government won't follow the law, it doesn't say the law, but it does mean the law. The government doesn't follow the Constitution. The government takes away our rights. We have an obligation to abolish or alter the government. We have that obligation. That's what the Declaration of Independence says. Now, that wasn't just for England. Okay, not just Britain. The Declaration of Independence specifically says any government, any form of government, whenever any form of government becomes destructive to our rights, our God-given rights, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. That's the words of the Declaration of Independence. And it says any form of government. Then the Second Amendment says, I'm going to rephrase it just a little bit. You need a well-regulated militia to keep the security of your state, your free state. The right of the people will not be infringed. The right of a free state will not be infringed. The right to keep and bear arms will not be infringed. But the main thrust of the Second Amendment is the militia is to keep the state, your state, my state, Utah. A well-regulated militia is necessary to keep Utah safe from an overreaching government. And that's how you alter or abolish and follow the Declaration of Independence. You do it with a militia. That's legal. Every government, every governor in this country could write an executive order today, sign it, post it, do whatever you do to get them out, and ask for the members of your state, able-bodied men, to appear to form a militia to fix our state.
Well, okay, absent of that, maybe, okay, so here's my thought. When you have hundreds of thousands of people being terminated from employment because of their objections to the clotshot mandate, okay, the genetic modifying mandate.
Yeah, but just a minute, I want to say something.
Okay.
Those 100,000 people are legal, accurate people. That is true.
Right.
They have that right.
Right.
They have that right from this book. They have that right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so when you have that across the country, multiplied, you know, just all across the country, when you have that situation happen, maybe that is the impetus needed for those people and us too to get away from our computers and actually physically do something. Because history and what you just cited there, the founding fathers were pushed to revolt, were they not? I mean,
yes, they were. Okay. Absolutely. They were pushed to revolt.
Okay, so history has shown us that you can't protest your way out of tyranny. You can't write letters. You can't. You've got to revolt in the truest and purest sense of the word. Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
And that's what history says.
Yeah. So that's history.
Now, I want to mention something. Now you mentioned it's very important. There's another item here that's very important.
All right.
It was only 3% of the people that rebelled with arms. Most of the people in the colonies were Tories. Most of them. They didn't want to be a part of it. But those who did it. And it was only like 3%. But they did it because they believed in freedom. They believed in liberty. They believed in this document, which they didn't have at the time. But we do. And we can believe in this document. It's written down. It gives us authority. They didn't even have the Declaration of Independence at that point when it started. And we have that. And that gives us authority. Those are honest, true documents of our country today. We have the legal right to do that under the Declaration of Independence and under this Constitution. Now,
right,
we're back to what Doug was just saying. It doesn't do a bit of good to talk. It doesn't do a bit of good to sit around the pot-bellied stove. It doesn't do a bit of good to sit in the bar and argue and say, you gotta do it. And there are enough true, honest patriots in this country that have arms to do it. But they won't do it unless they really get pushed. I don't believe in pushing them. I don't believe in that revolution. I want you to do it with legal political authority. I want the governors to legally call the militias. All they have to do is ask for it. I want them to do that. Short of them doing that, I want the counties to call for the militias. They can do it. The counties don't have to wait for a governor. They're an organization. They're a geographical location. The counties can do it. There are 3,000 counties. We'd have 3,000 militias. They'd have to be coordinated by somebody so it all worked together. But, folks, we've got to do it. Remember, I want you to just step back and remember, the BLM tried to force Bundy off his property.
Oh, yeah.
And the militias appeared on the scene. Now, they weren't really true militias, but the militias appeared on the scene and prevented it. And they weren't arrested. They stopped it. They stopped the BLM from doing it. And Bundy still has his property. It was being stolen from him by the federal government. People stood up with him. Our lives are being stolen from us by the federal government. Are we going to stand up and do something or not?
Well, okay.
I'm not advocating revolution, though.
But you know what? Okay, so resistance can take on many forms. You being a student and a professor of history, there was a book, or is a book, that details the resistance that took place among the colonists back in the prior to 17, I mean, from like 1770 through 1775, I believe, that time frame, okay? And so if we kind of superimpose that time frame into present day, there are things that we can do like the colonists did prior to the revolution.
But, yes, there are things we can do.
Okay, which brings me to this, just very quickly. American Thinker, October 6th, today, resistance is not futile and it can still make a difference. And this is a column by Frank Liberato, all right? It's interesting because he's just, because he kind of is saying what you're saying in a sense. He says this, he opens up, he says, sometimes I receive a text message containing links to a Twitter page with some sort of amusing picture or video yielding the curiosity. I'll scroll down and read what people on Twitter are saying to whatever that might be. And anyway, he goes on to say, well, let me get to the important part here. I'll just cut right to the chase on this article. The Bill of Rights was enacted to restrain the government. It establishes our rights to extend far beyond the Constitution's express statements. We are a free people. Only if each of us repudiates the encroachments of our liberties can we turn back the tide of insanity that now threatens our country. This can be lonely and fearful business, but perhaps not as bad as crossing the American frontier or fighting at the Alamo. Now, he gave a couple of examples how people can make a difference by refusing to cooperate with our government's unconstitutional conduct. They can put, he writes, they can put us in jail. Or they can't put us in jail, at least not yet. But if we do nothing, it's more likely they could, and much worse to us, just as the Chinese. And he writes in closing, responding to all the madness on Twitter and everywhere else won't make a dollar's worth of difference, but refusing to cooperate with unlawful edicts and mandates is how we can start the long journey toward taking back our country. Do you agree with that?
He is absolutely right. Okay. It was 148,000 people. Now, many of those people already had shots, but there were thousands that did not, that showed up the last part of last week. They reluctantly took the shot because they were going to lose their jobs. They're not true patriots. Sorry. They're Tories. Those who stood up and said, I will not, and left the job, they're the patriots. Now, how many people do we have in the country that are going to stand up right now against their employer? How many hospitals? When I go to a hospital, I talk to the people, and I see in their eyes that they don't want to tell me I have to wear a mask, but they must because of the policy of the hospital. And I say to them right out, you don't agree with it, same as I don't agree with it, then go and quit. All of you guys, quit. And they'll stop it. That's how you resist, folks. You stop mamby-pamby and doing the stuff they tell you to do. Just don't do it. Quit. I know I'm telling people to walk away from their jobs. I know it. And I understand that. Am I at risk for that? Yes, I am. I try to sell books. Nobody will buy my book. Essentially, they walked away from me. That's true. That's how commerce works. And I want the people to do what can be done short of a armed revolution. So stop giving in. Thousands, around 30,000 people was there. I added up the numbers of the people that got the shots in the last few days in New York City. Around 30,000. If those 30,000 had said, no, we will not, along with the others who said, we will not, if they'd have all just left the school system, it would have collapsed. They couldn't have done anything. But they didn't. They went along. So they lost that battle. Those people lost that battle.
With regard to the healthcare system, not school, but healthcare system, do you think that maybe what we're seeing is the intent to get the U.S. Patriotic doctors and nurses and healthcare workers to resign and have them replaced by, what's taking place right now. Foreign nationals from other countries. Do you think that's the
intent? Okay, let me tell you how I work that, okay? I don't go to the VA hospital anymore for any treatment. I get what I can from them. I go to a private doctor and get my stuff taken care of. Now, I will not go to the VA. I'm 100% disabled. I'm entitled to everything. I won't go there. The only thing they want me to do is wear a mask so far. I won't go there. I'm standing up for that. I pick money out of my pocket to take care of it. I won't go there. I won't wear a mask. I refuse. Everybody do that believes this. If you don't believe it, don't do it. Do the things. Do the stuff they're asking. But if you're against it, act it. Don't just say it in your mind. Oh, I wish I didn't have to do this. It's not right. I don't want to do this. Don't do that. Don't do it. That's how you resist. If all the restaurants in the city that are angry at losing their business, I wish that wouldn't happen.
That's all right. You're in demand.
Oh, yes, that's my wife telling us we've got to go. Oh, dear me. Yeah, I've got to go. Anyway, if all the restaurant owners would stand up, they couldn't do anything about it. If all of them would, I've got to go, guys. My wife's got something she has to do, and I have to take her.
No worries. We're at the end of the show anyway. Richard Proctor, Provost Institute, God bless you, and be safe, whatever you're doing.
Take care. You bet.
All right. Folks, again, Richard Proctor, Provost Institute. One more thing, what he was talking about. It's interesting because, Eric the Tech, did you know this? And I didn't know this until I did some research. And a young lady by the name of Erica Chenoweth wrote a discussion paper back in 2020, spring of 2020, titled Questions, Answers, and Some Cautionary Updates Regarding the 3.5% Rule, or the 3% Rule, but in her case, 3.5% Rule. You know the 3% Rule that we were just talking about? You know, 3% of the population will do something. Well, in this paper, and just very quickly here in closing, the four takeaways from this study that she had done, and again, this 3.5% rule refers to the claim that no government has withstood a challenge of 3.5% of their population mobilized against it during a peak event. So the four takeaways very quickly. The 3.5% figure is a descriptive statistic based on a sample of historical movements. It's not a prescriptive one, and no one can see into the future. But very interesting, 3.5%. That participation metric of 3.5% is a rule of thumb in most cases. Momentum, organization, strategic leadership, remember that, and sustainability are as important or likely as important as large-scale participation. And new research suggests that nonviolent movement, such as Bahrain back in 2011 through 2014, appears to have decisively failed despite achieving over 6% of popular participation. Think about that. Failed with 6% of peaceful revolt, peaceful, nonviolent movement. Failed. Not looking good, folks. All right. Please pray for Steve Quayle. Hopefully we'll have Mike Lindell on tomorrow. I'll know here shortly, but stay tuned. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a good night.